how it lights my path, how it guides my way.
Thank you so much, Martin. When I was brushing my teeth this morning, I felt that God said to me as I was bent over, when you get up, tell them that God wants to speak to every single one of us this morning, and individually and as a church. And you know, you're there so you don't have a pen. And I'm like, oh, I hope I'm going to remember to say this. So there, I've said it. And actually, I think you guys would confirm that that is already happening. As I was just been sitting there, I'm like, wow, thank you, Lord. God has been speaking so loudly and so clearly already this morning that I think even if I don't say anything more, I would actually be satisfied that that word has already come to pass, that God has already been speaking to us. Even just that what you shared about being at the bus stop, I just think God really had on his heart to meet with each one of us, to refresh us, to empower us, to encourage us. And I just thank him for how he's already doing that. So praise him. Praise him. And thank you, Martin, for giving us just that moment to just take stock and maybe write it down, just the things that God has already been speaking. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue, to speak to every single one, that everyone in here would know that they have heard personally from their God, the God who knows them, the God who loves them, the God who brought them here this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, as Martin said, this is family for us. You know, we feel like we're back visiting family. It's been so great, you know, being able to actually keep in touch in several ways since we left. It's almost exactly a year because our last service was the 3T service in July last year, and that has definitely flown by. So it's great. Like I said, we've kept in touch in different ways. But I think the first time, well, actually, the last time we were in this building was for Kez and Ethan's wedding. So it's great to be back here since then. As I think Martin said earlier on, that I've got a free passage that I could share whatever I wanted this morning, which can be a good thing. But can also be like, oh, sometimes I'll just love to be given a verse and not have to think, oh, what do I speak about? But actually, often when I do get invited to speak and they say you can choose, bring whatever the Lord gives you, often I'll have very quickly the Lord give me a word straight away of this is what you should speak about. Not all the time, but often I'll have that, and I'll kind of write it down, and then when it gets closer to the time, I'll kind of come back and start to you know, build on it and prepare it. Well, that didn't happen this time, but because Debbie told me about 2 months ago or so, I thought, oh, I've still got time. I'm sure as I get closer, God will kind of make clear what he wants me to speak about. Well, that also didn't happen. So as I was getting to this week, I thought, Lord, you haven't given me, I don't have any clue what to speak about. And I thought, okay, maybe it will come as the week goes on. But this week was mission week for us. So similar to summer project that's been going on in Ichthys, we've also had that this week. So as the week, and you know, if you've been involved in those weeks are full on. You know, you start the day at whatever time. And we were starting the day at 7 a.m. with Zoom prayer each day. And we've been doing that for the whole month of June. And we just decided to carry it into this week to cover our mission week as well. So you start the day at that time and you kind of go through the day and crash into bed at 10 p.m. or whatever. Or in my case, try and stay up to watch the World Cup and then fall asleep Ada walked in several times with the World Cup watching me instead of me watching the World Cup. So that's the kind of week I've had. And so I was just like, you know what, God? Even Martin messaged me and said, Alex, please text me what passage you're speaking about. And I said to Martin, you know what, Martin? I'm just going to get up and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to me in whatever he wants to say. And you know, to be fair, I think this service has kind of given me encouragement that actually that was what the Lord wanted to do. He wanted me to just be open to how Holy Spirit would minister through me. I do have some stuff prepared, but I'm very ready that I might go off script and do things that I hadn't planned. But here's what I landed on. I landed on sharing with you a few things that God has been teaching me just in this mission week. Just in this mission week that we've had, there's been a few things that God has been saying or showing or encouraging that I hope will be an encouragement to you guys as well. So I want to start off by reading Isaiah 40. And I'm going to read from verse 28 to 31. So Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. And this is what it says. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Amen. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I wonder just even how many of us feel like we need a refreshing this morning. If that's you, just open up your hands right now and say, Lord, just do it again. Lord, just refresh me by your Spirit again. Lord, there's lots of things that I could stand on to ask for that, but I'm just standing on this very word that you say here, that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Come, Holy Spirit, do that for me. Do that for my brothers and sisters, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thought I'd kind of walk you through my week and share with you highlights from some of the things we've done on the different days. So on Sunday there was, how many of you know the Logos Hope ship? Or are aware of it by the Operation Mission, Operation Mobilization. Well, that ship has been in London this week, and it's been docking by the XL, and people have been able to go along to it. And there's kind of a London-wide initiative that has happened this last week called the London Mission Week, and that's why I decided to tie our Mission Week into that, even though we're slightly on the outside of London now. I thought, you know what, get in there. And so they had like a launch event for that mission week on the boat. The boat hosted this mission event, the launch. And I went to it on Sunday evening, bumped into a couple of Ichthys people there. In fact, Andrew was leading worship. And it was lovely. And at some point in the evening, they called a guy to kind of do a bit of sharing and kind of encouragement on how to do evangelism creatively. So when he got up, he asked the question. He said, what is the goal of evangelism? Like, what are we trying to do? And he took a few answers. I wonder what you would say to that. But one of the guys who put up his hand said that in his little team, they try and work by this little mantra. And the mantra was this. Take the initiative in the power of the Holy Spirit, leaving the results to God. I thought, I love that. That encouraged me so much. Let me say it again so you can digest it or write it down if you think it's good. He said, evangelism is about taking the initiative in the power of the Holy Spirit, leaving the results to God. That really encouraged me because I had all kinds of feelings about, oh, I don't think we've advertised our mission week enough, or I don't think we're so prepared for it, because by the time I decided to do it, I didn't have much of a lead up to it, you know? So I felt like, I don't know, you know, all the different things we've planned. I don't know how many people are going to engage with it. It just felt like there wasn't enough preparation time for it. But when I heard that word, evangelism is about taking the initiative, I thought, yes, that's what we're doing. We may not be all prepared and everything like that, but we're taking the initiative. We're stepping out. And we're going to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to trust and see what God's going to do. And I just wanted to start by encouraging you with that, because that really encouraged me. Cheryl was just saying about the times when God calls us to step out. And that feeling of like being not prepared, whether it's for worship on the streets or for anything else. There's always that feeling of, I'm not going to know what to say, or what if they do this, or what if that happens, or what if that doesn't happen. But God is saying it's just about being willing to take the initiative. It's just about being willing to step out. And I'm not just talking about the organized times, right? I'm not just talking about the times when it's like mission week or worship on the streets, when it's like organized. I'm talking about just the time when, you know, you're standing next to someone at the water cooler or the coffee station at work, and God just puts something in your mind to say to them, and you're like, maybe not, because I don't know how they're going to react. God is saying, don't worry about that. You don't have to worry about how they're going to react. You don't have to have been prepared for it. You don't have to have done theology. You just have to be willing to open your mouth in that moment, and God will do the rest. That happened with me the other day, actually. I hadn't thought of this story to share with you, but that happened with me the other day. I was on the tube, and I saw this guy next to me, and he was reading the Bible. It was packed. He was standing, and I noticed it was the Bible he was reading. And I just had that prompting, oh, say something to him. But then I was like, oh, we're on the tube. Like, he might not want me to disturb him while he's reading the Bible. You know, you just have those kind of maybe not questions going in your head. But thankfully, I did. I opened my mouth, and I think I said something like, oh, that's a good book you're reading. And then we ended up talking for the rest of that journey. He ended up getting off at the same stop of me to change to the next stop. He was a 23-year-old guy, and he just had so many questions that linked with things that God had really like showed me through my life. And I was able to kind of share with him, and he asked me for my number, asked me to pray for him before we like parted way. I didn't have that planned when I went out, but it was just that moment of being willing to say something. And I remember thinking as I walked away from him, oh, thank you, Lord, that you helped me to open my mouth in that moment. Because if I didn't, like, he wouldn't have been blessed, and I wouldn't have been blessed. So take the initiative. Take the initiative. So that's what I wanted to share with you from Sunday. On Monday, we had a primary school come in. There's a couple of schools on our doorstep, and one of the teachers had been emailing me about bringing their students to visit our church, because they're doing a curriculum about Christianity, and they wanted to visit a church building and talk to the minister and ask questions. So we hadn't been able to arrange it, but as this week was coming up, I thought, let me email her, see if she wants to come this week, because it will fit nicely as part of our mission week. And so they did. So they were in our building on Monday. We had parents and toddlers in the morning, and then we had that class coming in the afternoon. And again, kind of like the theme for the whole week, I was thinking, I hope I've done enough preparation for this, because the teacher has given me an hour, and I want to be able to make it useful and interactive and them not just be bored out of their mind for the whole time. So I wasn't sure if I had enough. But guess what? These kids had so many questions, year four, that I didn't get to half of the things that I had prepared, because they were so curious, and they asked about everything from we have like a cloth thing like this on our wall as well, which has a dove on it. And they asked about everything about what is the dove meant to represent, to, you know, why did Jesus die if he hadn't done anything wrong? You know, questions like that and everything in between. And I just was able to just answer question after question after question. And it was beautiful. And it reminded me of the passage where Jesus said, let the little children come unto me, for theirs, do not hinder them, for theirs is the kingdom of God. It also reminded me of how I got into doing children and youth work in 2005, was because I was visiting a church in America. Having just done Camp America, I was visiting a church. Somewhere through the service, they had some kids up on the stage who were doing some kind of drama. And at some point during the drama, I was sitting about, I was sitting about there somewhere. It was like God gripped my heart and was like, look at these kids. If someone would just invest in them, they could go on to be anything. I knew that voice was from God because I had been working with children for 9 weeks solid before that, and I had never had that thought. So in that moment, I knew that was from God. I knew that wasn't from me. In that moment, I didn't make up my mind that I was going to do youth and kids work for the rest of my life. But I did make up my mind that I was going to come and work at summer camp the next year. So I did, and I ended up working at summer camp the year after that. And the bug for kids work got me since then, and it's never left. Why am I sharing that? Because I'm guessing there's people who work with kids in here. Okay, I'm actually going to ask you to stand. So if you work with kids, whether as work or as volunteer in church, or you have kids of your own, or you have grandkids, you have any kind of interaction with kids on any kind of level, can you please just stand for a moment? So you work in a school, you volunteer with kids, you have children, you have grandchildren. And at first I think I was going to make it like children of 0 to 11, because that was the age group that came into church. But I felt like the Lord asked me to extend it to kids all the way to 18. So you work with or have any interaction with kids of that age group, whether because they're your own children or you work with them, then I just feel the Lord wants to minister to you for a second. So, Lord, I just ask for these dear brothers and sisters of mine. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Lord, let this be true for these dear brothers and sisters of mine. Lord, give them wisdom to know what to do. Give them courage to act upon what you show them. Lord, give them favor so that their efforts will be fruitful. Lord, we pray, bring heaven to the hearts of these kids and children that we're interacting with. Bring heaven to their lives. Bring heaven to their families. Bring heaven to the homes that they are from. Lord, renew us in our ongoing work and interaction with children who you love, who you say, let them come unto me. And thank you for the great privilege that we have to be your voice, to be your hands and feet, to be stewards. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So that's Monday. Tuesday evening, we normally have a prayer meeting, in-person prayer meeting from 7 to 8 in our building. But because it was Mission Week, I said to our church, we're going to have our prayer time out on the garden, similar to how there's this little car park area. We have a little garden space in front of our building. So I said, we're going to be out there and we're going to set up and we're going to invite people, if they want to receive prayer, to come and receive prayer. And I think you, those of you guys who know me will know, like, faith is like one of my gifts. But I'll be honest, I didn't have much faith for that. I didn't have much faith that many people were going to actually come to receive prayer. I had faith that we were going to be out there and be visible. And even if it was just that, I thought that's a win. We're going to be visible, because I know from my previous church that just because a church building is there doesn't mean people will just necessarily know that a church meets there or feel invited to come. So I thought, you know what, we'll at least be out there, we'll be visible. People who just maybe think our building is like a council building or something like that, they'll realize that we're actually a church and be invited, and at least we'll do that. But remember what I said, take the initiative, right? In the power of the Holy Spirit, leaving the results to God. So we did. I just thought, let's be out there. I can tell you that even from before 7 o'clock, even before our official start time, when we were out there just getting ready, we had one conversation after another, praying for people all the way till after the finish time. It was like non-stop throughout the whole hour. Non-stop. And maybe I'll quickly, I have some notes here from that evening of some of the people we spoke to. So there was Sam, who lives across the road from our building, number 40. And she walked up and said, "So what are you guys doing today?" And he said, "Look, it's on the banner. We're offering prayer to anyone who needs prayer." She said, "I need lots of prayer." And she said, "I've just got back from work. I'm going to go in and then I'm going to come back with my partner and get and receive prayer." And I thought, I wonder if she's actually going to come. I wonder if she means it, or if she just said that as a way to, like, be polite. Or even if her partner might just discourage her, and then she might not come. But about 15, 20 minutes later, she comes with the partner. We ended sitting with both of them for maybe 30 minutes, then pouring out their heart. And they said, "Please pray for us. Recently, it's felt like one thing after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other." And we prayed for that. The husband shared that both of them have lost their moms recently and just still processing that. That was one. There was Sharon, who was walking her dog, and she said, "Oh, I need prayers for health. Please pray for me," and hopes to pop in one Sunday. There was Albie and Katie, who were just coming back from work and asked if we were a Catholic church or a Christian church. And Albie didn't even know we were a church. There was Sophie, the young girl who just came in to use the toilet. And we couldn't let her just use the toilet. Said, "Do you want prayer as well as using the toilet?" She was from a traveler background. And she received prayer and took away the New Testament Bible. There was Daniel, who came, who's on the fringes of our church right now, and wanted prayer for himself. There was the lady with 3 kids who has come in previously for the play groups, but hasn't been for a while, who we were able to invite to church. There was Alfie, a young guy, who, when I said, "Do you need prayer for anything?" he said, "I do actually, but maybe another time, because I've got a run right now." And I was able to connect with him there. And there was Salen, the Turkish mom with a 4-year-old son, who asked if we have anything going on a Sunday for her son. I just thought, if we hadn't taken the initiative, none of those conversations and encounters would have happened. So take the initiative in the power of the Holy Spirit. leaving the results to God. Jesus says it this way, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it up on a stand so that it gives light to the whole house. Jesus is saying, like, it doesn't make sense to have what we have and just keep it away. It doesn't make sense to have the hope, the light, the love, everything that we receive from Jesus. It doesn't make sense to have that and then just be like, oh, I think I'll just keep my mouth shut because I don't have anything to say or because I don't know what they're going to say. It doesn't make sense. We all think that. I've thought that loads of times. Remember, I just shared the example with you on the tube where I literally thought that. Like, oh, I don't want to interrupt. You might think, like, I don't have much to give. And you're probably right. You probably don't have much to give. But it's the Spirit of Jesus in you that has everything to give. And has everything that people out there need. It's the Spirit of Jesus in you. It's not you. So that was Tuesday. Wednesday, we had this listening chair thing happening. It happened on a Wednesday daytime and then on a Thursday evening time. The listening chair is a guy who contacted me who is kind of a trained listener, a trained Samaritan. And it's been occurring to him lately that people just need a space to talk, a space where they can just open up and have someone listen to them. Not therapy, not counseling, but just be listened to. So we were hosting this on Wednesday evening. And he's from a nominal Catholic background, so not kind of practicing Christian. And there's so much I could say from both of those 2 days when he was with us. But when I was catching up with him on the Thursday evening after he had finished, and I meant to kind of explore with him, do you think we might be able to have you again and, you know, make this some kind of ongoing regular thing rather than just this week? He didn't even let me finish speaking. He said, Alex, to be honest with you, I love it here. He said, because I was saying, do you think you might have any gaps in your week? He said, I would do anything to create a gap in my week just to be here. He said, out of all the community centers that I'm now doing this in, he said, to be honest with you, this is the one I love the most. I was sitting there thinking, this guy has hardly been in our building a couple of times, two or three times. But he's obviously experiencing something that was different. And in the few people he had gotten to interact with, he was experiencing something that he hadn't experienced anywhere else. This is going back to what I just told you, that we, as believers in Jesus, carry something which is just there. It's just there. We just have to be willing to turn up and people will experience it. See, when you turn on the light, light doesn't then need to tell you, I am the light, da-da-da-da-da, look at me. It's just light. It just does what it does. It brings light to the whole atmosphere. Suddenly, things become visible that were hidden. Light does that. And I think that's what this guy was experiencing. It was as if Spirit, Holy Spirit, was speaking to his spirit. And he was just like, oh, I love this. I want more of this. I pray that he would be able to go on a journey and actually get to know Jesus. Because I believe it's Jesus' spirit that he's really experiencing. Is anyone getting something out of this? Is anyone being encouraged? Okay, we're halfway through the week, and if you're starting to feel tired just from hearing about my week, then spare a thought for how I felt going through the week. But even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. is this time correct? That's on here, yeah. Thursday we did door knocking. And out of the 14 doors that we knocked on the one street that's connected to our church, it was about 11 o'clock in the morning. Out of the 14 doors we knocked, 8 people came to the door and engaged with us. When I say engaged, it might just have been, oh, sorry, can't talk because I'm in a business meeting or I'm on a Zoom or whatever. So when I mean engaged, I don't mean we had a real conversation or a chance to pray. But 8 people came to the door out of the 14. And it was the very last door. Just when you were probably thinking, oh man, we're about to finish and we haven't really had any real interactions with anyone. It was the last door that was a Sri Lankan woman who opened her door and invited the 2 people who knocked on the door. I was kind of the 3rd person hanging back. And suddenly one of them was like, Alex, she's invited us in and she said it's all right for you to come as well. So the 3 of us were there with this Sri Lankan woman. And she just opened up her whole story and testimony and lives to us. She was a Christian. And I wish I had time to go into everything that she shared and everything that I think might happen as a result of it. But what it reminded me of is, you know how we say God leaves the 99 to go after the 1? That's what it reminded me of. It made me think this whole going out door knocking today was literally just for this woman, just this 1 woman. And I just thought, wow, thank you, Lord. And when I was kind of writing these things down this morning, the song that we sing about how there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And this morning, I don't know if you might be the one that God is chasing down, or if you might be the one that he's calling to go after the 1. I don't know which one you are this morning, but again, I believe God wants to encourage you. Whether you're the one that he's chasing down, or whether you're the one he's calling to go to bring the 1 to him, I believe God wants to encourage you. So just thank you, Lord. Just encourage my brothers and sisters, wherever they find themselves this morning. Just encourage each one. And encourage the church as a whole to keep going after. To keep going after the 1. To keep going after the lost, the last, the least. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. On Friday morning, like I said, we've been starting the day this whole month since June with prayer meetings on Zoom at 7 a.m. And so Friday was going to be our last one until we restart again in September. So we were just kind of taking time to kind of look back and track how has God been speaking to us in those meetings morning by morning, morning by morning. And you know, one of the strong themes that's come out for us across the month, which we were reminded us on Friday, is these verses that I'm sharing with you today from Isaiah. That's why I decided to start with it, and that's why I've echoed it throughout, because God has just been echoing those verses to us over and over and over and over again. Even though youths will grow weak and weary and tired, those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. Thank you, Jesus. And then Saturday, yesterday evening, we had a film night. and we watched a film together called The Forge. Have you heard of it? It's a great Christian film. If you've watched War Room and you enjoyed that, you will definitely enjoy The Forge. It's different to The War Room, but just as powerful. And I think I just decided to show that because, well, I'd watched it about a year ago, or maybe even more. And when I was talking to my leadership team and saying, oh, planning to show a movie but haven't landed on anything yet, one of them said, oh, Alex, we should show The Forge. And I thought, The Forge, I think that's the one about da-da-da-da. And when I looked it up, it was. And I thought, that's a great one. So we showed it. And again, I was probably imagining that it would be kind of just church, regular church people that would turn up, which I would have been happy with because the film speaks so strongly to what it looks like to be church together and to be discipling one another and looking after one another and that kind of stuff. But a few unexpected people showed up that are not in our church life right now. And we had a little bit of time at the end to kind of share, you know, what did people get out of it? What stood out to you and that. And man, I was just blown away to hear all the different things that came out for people and how the film spoke to different people in so many ways. All the things that I wouldn't have anticipated or thought about when I decided to show the film. But again, it just showed me about take the initiative. Do something, and then let Holy Spirit use it how he's going to use it. So I recommend the film to you all at some point, whether you want to watch it as a congregation or just get it on YouTube. I think it's like £3 on YouTube to rent it and watch it sometimes. I have to admit, I was at the point of tears. I was fighting back tears several times as I watched it, and that's me having watched it before. So have some tissues ready if you're going to watch it. One of the scenes that really spoke to me was there was this scene about the main character in the film had been left this old rusty car by his dad. And, you know, he had held many promises of that car being redone, which just didn't happen. And he was now at the point where he was actually able to drive and was trying to save up money to buy a car, but his circumstances weren't allowing him to do that. And then it got to a point in the film when his mum lifted the garage door and there was his car sitting there, having been refurbished, brand new, ready to drive. And the boy just burst into tears. And what made him completely lose it was when he asked his mum, how were you able to like afford to like do this? And his mum said, oh, you know the little bit of rent you've been paying me in the last however long? I've been using it to kind of go towards refurbishing this car. And he just completely lost it. And he was just sobbing, and his mom was behind him sobbing because of the journey that he had been on. And that scene just really moved me. And what it reminded me of is about how God is always working behind the scenes. Like, there was he just doing all this stuff to try and fix himself and start to save up and start to be responsible and maybe try to buy a car and do this and try to, you know, live to support his mom. And behind the scenes the whole time, God was doing something for him. And so when he saw this, he just was completely overwhelmed. And I have this saying, which I've maybe shared a few times, but it's just that I feel that God is always working behind the scenes and under the surface, underneath the surface of our lives. And sometimes we're looking at what's happening on the surface and thinking, nothing's happening for me. But I just want to reassure you, because this scene in the movie reminded me of it again, that God is always working behind the scenes and underneath the surface of our lives. Let's stand. Well, Lord, I thank you for the grace to be able to share what you've given me to share. I trust, Holy Spirit, that you have been speaking loudly through it, that you have been underlining some things that perhaps you were already speaking, that perhaps you've been highlighting some things that we need to take hold of. I thank you for how you've been encouraging me throughout this week. I thank you for how you've been encouraging me even as I've been up here speaking. God, you are a great God. You love us so much. And you want to encourage us. You want us to know that you are our biggest cheerleader. Lord, let each one of my brothers and sisters receive that in a fresh way this morning. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let your living word abide in me so richly as I abide in you. Let your living